Turn into Genesis chapter 1 here this morning. Genesis chapter 1. I know this is beautiful, but just try to calm yourselves. Genesis chapter 1. We'll go down all the way to verse 28. We'll start with 27, I suppose. Something that's more on record of here that'll be important this morning. Genesis 1, 27. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And then he goes on and says a couple other things. I did want you to go down to chapter 2 and verse 16, because this is the next occurrence of this thing that we're going to talk about here today. 2:16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou mayest not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, thank you this morning for your goodness and your love to us. We pray that you might show us something out of these verses that we've read so many times. Lord, may you impress us with something that in many cases, baffled man, I suppose, through these many years. May we not be mistaken about these things. Lord, give us eyes of faith to be able to see and hearts to understand. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the reason I had you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, is that that is the first record in the Bible of God speaking to a man. And then that is followed in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, by the next occurrence of God speaking to a man. So I don't know if that's the first time God spoke to a man or not. I don't think it would be unreasonable to at least contemplate the idea that, you know, maybe the first thing that one of the first stimuli that Adam's senses received when he was first created and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul, I believe that Adam might have opened his eyes, and maybe one of the first stimuli his senses received may have well been hearing the voice of God. I mean, he's laying there and breathes a few breaths and opens his eyes and sits up, and the Lord says, hi. He says, what's for breakfast, man? I don't know, but all I wanted to point out here is this is the first time that God spoke to man, and thus begins the record of all the things in the Bible that God has said to men all these years. It begins the testimony of a long history of God speaking to a man, either at times in the Old Testament by voice and vision, but more recently by his son. And even more recently yet, by the Spirit of God, through the preaching of the Word of God and the reading of the Word of God and so on else. In the Bible, the Lord spake to man in all kinds of places and under all kinds of conditions. He spoke to Adam and he spoke to Eve, that's for sure. We know for sure he spoke to Cain, and I believe he spoke also to Abel. You have him speaking to Noah, you have him speaking to Abraham, and on we go. He spoke to men in sin. He spoke to men in judgment. He spoke to women in childbearing. He spoke to women in their pregnancies. He spoke to children. He spoke to men in their manhood and to elderly people in their old age. He spoke in blessing and in cursing, in prisons, on mountains, in valleys, on the sea. He has spoke to men in crowds. He's spoken to men in solitude and in solitary. In the day, in the noontime, in the night, God spoke to man all through history in all sorts of places, in all sorts of ways. And when I'm talking about God speaking, I want you to understand, I know that you probably know this, but I'm not talking about some charismatic pipe dream thing here. I'm not talking about a bad pizza night. I'm talking about here documented places where God has for sure spoken to men through the years, and you have a Bible in your lap here that has a testament of all the things, not only that God spoke historically to the people in the Bible, but all that He has to say to you today. I want you to know something. God doesn't have anything new to say to you that's not already written down. All that He has to say to you is found written, ladies and gentlemen, in that book. Now, when you stop and think about it, it's not unusual that God would speak to a man, right? After all, when it gets right down to it, the reason that God made man was to fellowship with him. Well, if God's going to fellowship with a man, then He's going to talk to him, right? I mean, that's not too unreasonable, I don't think. So it's not unreasonable that one of the first conscious things that may have crossed Adam's senses was God speaking to him, actually hearing God's voice. And he did hear God's voice, right? Now, you and I both know that there's something that happened. And of course, that thing that happened that messed up a lot happened in Genesis chapter 3, where after forbidding that woman and that man to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they did eat anyway. In eating, they did indeed surely die. They spiritually died on the spot, right? And when they sinned, the Bible said that your sins have separated you between you and your God. So there was a breach there. And so it was no longer like it once had been. It was no longer where God, in the cool of the day, came down and walked through the garden with Adam on one side and Eve on the other, and walked with them and talked with them literally and physically in all those ways. It became a little more mystical. Granted, God spake through prophets, and God spake through visions, and God spake through dreams, and God spake through angels. Then one day God sent His own Son, and God spake to us through His Son. Now He sent His spirits into our hearts with a spirit of adoption, whereby He crieth, Abba, Father. And like I said, now you have a Bible. And when you read that Bible, when the Bible's preached and when the Bible's taught, then you hear God's voice that way. Right? Now, before I go on, there's two incidents that I want to bring up as being important, and I'll come back to them in a little bit. You're in Genesis 3. I wanted you to take note of something. Remember, we've already said now that, you know, God talking to man, it got messed up a little bit by man's sin. And so God withdrew. In fact, in some places in the Bible, it says that God hid His face. And down in chapter 3, verse 8, you read of this first staggering steps after man has sinned. What happens? They heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife did hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" All right, now I don't think for a minute that our God didn't know where Adam was, do you? I mean, He feeds the fish of the seas and doesn't miss a hair on your head and doesn't miss any sparrow that falls. So He knew where Adam was. But the fact is that makes it a little more ominous because He says, "Adam, where are you?" And it becomes real apparent that the Lord intended to make sure that Adam came out from behind that bush of his own volition. Very instructive on how God deals with things. And I had another illustration for you. You don't have to go over there if you don't want to, but it's in Luke chapter 8. And it's where this centurion sends to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a daughter that's ill, and he asks him to come heal his daughter. And Jesus Christ is going indeed to heal the daughter, and he and Jairus are walking along there and going to go heal the daughter. And in a minute, Jesus Christ stops stock cold in the middle of the street, and he's thronged by people, and he says, "Who touched me?" And Peter says, "Lord, you are literally being bounced around by this throng of people, and you ask who touched you?" He said, "Yeah, I want to know who touched me." And I'll have you know that the Lord Jesus Christ did not move from that spot until that woman came forward and admitted to having touched him. Okay? Now, I say that because I believe that those things, those two incidents in this matter we're talking about this morning, are pretty instructive as how the Lord deals with His people. The Lord is more confrontational than most people think. When He points out a sin or an issue with you, He intends for you to deal with it. Now, what I have here is, you know what this is. This is the road of life. And I want to speak to you for a little while this morning on the fork in the road. Okay? And what I intend for you to see there is the fact that that all along the pathway of life, and I don't want to get too mystical or esoteric about this pathway of life. I don't want to be like the Dalai Lama. But you and I both know that you're born and there you walk down on this earth for 70 or 80 years, whatever the Lord allots for you. And you are you're born, and there are some things that happen, and you grow, and those sort of things. I want you to know that the way God had this figured from the start with Adam and Eve is that God would walk and talk with a man day in and day out for his lifetime and an eternal life for eternity. And sin messed that thing up to a degree, right? And nowadays, especially you folks that are saved, you have a Bible that is God's revelation to you. It is God's love letter to you. You have the very words of the living God. All the words of God are pure. And God speaks to you through that book and then by His Spirit, which dwells in you if you're saved. Now, if you're not saved, we have some things to say. But I wanted to just talk to you for a little while this morning about the fork in the road. Because I'm going to back up here and we're going to say, you know, back here, on this end of the road, and I'll explain the fork in a minute, but back here on this end of the road, you're born. And you're born, you don't know much, and you start growing. And if you grow up in a house with a mom and a dad that are a decent mom and a dad, and even if you don't, maybe somebody will cart you off to Sunday school. I know that when you're 2 and 3 and 4, there's lots of things that you don't understand. But by the time you're 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, there are some things that you did begin to understand. And when a kid is 3 and 4 and 5, there are some things that can be taught that child. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. I want you to know that when your mom or dad taught you that, or when your Sunday school teacher taught you that, I want you to understand that was God speaking. Thou shalt not kill. That's His words. Thou shalt not steal. I know that when you are 4 and 5, you don't know what thou shalt not commit adultery means. It's still not bad to teach somebody that at an early age. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. Thou shalt not covet. And maybe when you're 4 or 5, you didn't understand the word covet, but you understood the concept of covet, because you did covet the toy that the other 3-year-old had. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And you know, even if you didn't get carted off to Sunday school, and even if your mom and dad weren't diligent as they should have been about teaching you those things, nevertheless, the Bible attests to the fact that you came to a day that in Romans chapter 2, even by your conscience, even if you hadn't memorized the Ten Commandments, by your conscience, you knew through God speaking through your conscience that lying was wrong, stealing was wrong, adultery was wrong, coveting was wrong. Okay? Now, folks, I'm just telling you that's God speaking to you. And there's no exceptions to that according to the Scriptures. Now, I know everybody argues about, well, what about the heathen that never heard? Well, maybe you should worry about the heathen that did hear, for one. But as far as the heathen that never heard, the Bible attests to the fact that every man is enlightened in these matters in some ways before his conscience goes dark and his conscience is seared. I mean, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day into day uttereth speech. Night into night showeth forth knowledge. There is no language whether speech or voice is not heard. Okay? Now, so right away you start off as a little kid and you don't understand all the impact yet, but you know that you're supposed to mind your mother and father, that lying's wrong, stealing's wrong, and coveting's wrong. You know some things are wrong. And I don't know how long a period of time it is from, you know, when you start understanding those things. And maybe, you know, it happens quickly, but maybe there's a period of time that does go by. Maybe it's 6 months, maybe it's a year, maybe it's two, and maybe it's four. But then, you know, you hear the voice of the Lord basically continue to speak. Only this time, the Lord's not just laying down rules. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, the voice becomes a little more strident. You remember there came a day in David's life where he committed sin with Bathsheba and then went to cover it up and did cover it up by killing Bathsheba's husband. And there came a day that the prophet came in speaking in the name of the Lord. And what he said to David was, "Thou art the man." Okay? Somewhere along the way, sometime after you understand what you are supposed to do and what you are expected to do, the voice of God will also start dealing with you, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because if you have offended in the law in one point, you're guilty of all. Right? The Lord will deal with you about you being the man. It's a more strident voice. It's an accusatory voice. He said to Paul that day, he said, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." He revealed Paul's own heart to him. Paul is standing there, and Paul has a conscience about how he's been convicting these Christians and arresting them and tormenting them. He, in his mind, he thinks he's doing the right thing, but he has a conscientious problem with it. And the Lord said, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks, isn't it?" You know, he came to Cain and he said, "So where's Abel?" "Well, I'm my brother's keeper." Well, he killed Abel. But see, that voice was accusatory. You know, there was a day that there was a wicked king, and the Lord sent his prophet to speak to that wicked king. And that wicked king said, "Hast thou found me, O mine enemy?" And the Lord's man said, yeah, I found you. Now, you know what that is? Somewhere along the way, a kid grows up and he comes to know that I'm supposed to lie and I'm not supposed to steal. And then after, you know, a little bit of time passes, you know what he learns? He learns that he failed in some things and he did lie and he did steal. And when he does that, the Lord comes along and says, "Thou art the man," and guilt sets in. That's God speaking, by the way. You know, there's a lot of folks that are trying to do away with guilt these days. And what you have to do away with guilt with is the blood of Jesus Christ. But you don't get rid of guilt by just reasoning it away. You can't get rid of guilt with a pill. And that guilt is one of those things. I mean, this voice standing there saying, "Thou art the man." I mean, when Adam sinned, he knew instinctively that there was something coming down on him. He felt guilty and he felt ashamed, and he covered himself with a fig leaf and went and hid behind the bush when he heard the Lord's voice. When David heard that voice and felt that guilt, he went and tried to cover his own sins. That voice led all the perverts of Sodom and Gomorrah to all congregate in one place in Abraham's day in order to try to console themselves together. That voice has driven many a man to drink, to drugs, and to other life-damaging habits and all sorts of things. That voice persists at times until men lose all manner of sane thought, because a man starts down the path of life. And you know what? You can't just stop somewhere here. Time continues to go on. And whether you like it or not, if you're 4, you're going to turn 5. And if you're 5, you're going to turn 6. And if you're 55, you're going to turn 56, unless the Lord kills you or takes you. They're just things you can't stop. So you can't stop along the way and say, "Stop this world and let me off," because it's not going to work. And so you continue on a little bit further down this road, and you now have learned that there's a certain standard in life and that God intends for you to keep that standard. And then you've learned that you failed in that standard, and you learn that you are guilty. And then if you persist in that, and again, maybe it's a little bit of time that passes. I don't know. I know men that never got saved until they were 50. I know ladies that never got saved till they were 30. On the other hand, I know kids that got saved at 4, 5, and 6. So it's not always easy to tell how much time passes. But if you do let time pass, and after you know you're a sinner, There is something else. There's another voice that begins to talk to you. It's the Lord's voice, but it takes on an entirely different tone. And that tone says now, it says, the wicked shall be cast into hell. And all the nations that forget God. That voice says the wages of sin is death. There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and that sinneth not. And God is angry with the wicked every day. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, that there are, the Bible says, there are some that where the Lord abhorreth the covetous. It says that him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. And so I remember personally as a 9- and 10-year-old boy knowing that I was a sinner and knowing that I was guilty and bearing that guilt and fearing the judgment of God, the recompense of God. Now, you know what that was? Ladies and gentlemen, that was the voice of God. Okay? It was the voice of God because my Sunday school teachers taught me the truth. And my mom and dad taught me the truth. But it was also the voice of God at that particular point anyway, in my own conscience, convicting me at night on my bed. Now again, folks, all manner of time can pass, you know, as you travel down this road of life. But by this time, you start getting down near this fork in the road. And there's really good news to come now because you've been told, you've been given rules that you can't keep. And then you've been told that you're a failure. And then you're guilty about that failure. And then you're told if you don't get that sin fixed, you're going to go to hell. You're going to face the judgment of God. And then you get the good news. One day somebody shows up and maybe it's a part of the Bible you've never read before or listened to before. Maybe your Sunday school teacher or your preacher gets to it and he hasn't in a while. Maybe it's just the first time you've heard it when you were interested in it. Maybe it's a tract. I don't know exactly. Maybe you hear a street preacher for all I know. But somewhere along the way, you hear the good news. And the good news is that God so loved the world, though, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. For he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And you hear the good news that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, that He bare our sins in His own body on the tree, and that He is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by Him. And therefore He says, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me, and he that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out. This is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And you know, in the end, what the Lord says is, listen, it's finished. It's finished. I died on the cross for your sins. I died in your place because you dying in your place would only send you to hell where you'd get to suffer the wrath of God forever and ever. So I died in your place. And I want you to know that I rose from the dead and it is finished. Your salvation's finished. It's done. It's finished. You're a sinner. You can't keep it. You're guilty. You're going to hell. And I have a free gift for you. Whosoever will, let him come take the water of life freely. Okay? Now, folks, that's good news. There's a thing, though. There is an irreparable divide that then happens because now you've reached this fork in the road I've been trying to get us to. And there's some that when they reach this fork and they've heard, you need to live this way, thou shalt and thou shalt not. You fail. You're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. the wicked shall be cast into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he says, it is finished. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And you know, a divide happens there that is monumental. Because there are those then that put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ, and there's a split in the road. And they begin on this upward trail. There are, however, those that do not believe. Now, you know what, folks? Some of those people that don't believe, it's not intended to be malicious. It's just that some of them, at very best, are, you know, they're undecided. They don't mean anything by it. They're just not sure. They're just not decided. They don't want to make a decision right now. That's the best case scenario. Now, the worst case scenario for the unbelieving is that they're resentful or bitter about having things pointed out to them. They don't appreciate being guilty. They don't like the way things are set up. Nevertheless, either of those cases, either just the merely unbelieving or else the malignant unbelieving, it doesn't matter. They're both unbelieving, and they're both down this path. Right? Now, when somebody's saved, there's a wonderful thing that happens. We're talking about God speaking to man this morning. And God's spoken to lost people all the way down their lives, and maybe you reach this point at 5 years old, 15, 25, or 35, but you reach this point and you either tell Jesus Christ yes or no. And if you say yes, there is a profound thing that happens as far as God speaking to you. See, until you get to this point, God hasn't had a lot to say to you other than, thou shalt not, you messed up, I'm going to get you. Okay? Until that point. But by the time you've moved merely a few feet up this road as a saved believer in Jesus Christ, you know, the Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Well, by the time you've believed and gotten the Spirit of God, there is a remarkable thing that happens just a few feet, really, from the fork in that road. All of a sudden, you, if you are in your Bible, and if you are listening to the Spirit of God when He speaks, there is an avalanche of information that comes at you. You never dreamed that God had so much to say to you. Just a few feet from that, merely a couple of steps from that Y in the road, the Lord begins to talk. And He says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. And if you listen, it's almost more than you can absorb because, you know, as you read, the Lord shows you things that you never dreamt that you would even hear. For instance, now unto him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. He says, and you, hath he quickened who were dead. You were dead, but you're not anymore. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Therefore, being justified by faith, ye have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He hath delivered you from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Much more now than being justified by His blood, we will be saved from wrath through Him. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, and all these things were more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angel nor principality nor power nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. And the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. He even tells you, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. In a moment, a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And I mean, you're getting information because you're a child of God, and you have the Spirit of God, and if you have a Bible, or if you're in Sunday school, and if you're in church, you're receiving things that you never thought that you would hear with your ears, and you're hearing them from the Lord's mouth. He says, for by one Spirit are ye all baptized into one body. It says, and you're complete in Him, who is the head of all principalities and powers. Said that in whom also you're circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. But in Him are we all in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It says in Ephesians 1, and after ye believed, you were sealed by that Holy Spirit of promise. Therefore, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Who shall confirm you to the end? In Ephesians 5, we're members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. And in 2 Timothy, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot. I mean, folks, you start up this road, and the Lord is just talking and talking. Because He created you to have fellowship with Him. Now, think about it. You start up this road, and the Lord is bombarding you with information. It's going to take you a while to absorb it. But, you know, meanwhile, there's this other guy. And, you know, you don't just get to stop at the fork in the road and stand and look at it, because life continues to pass you by. And you can continue to get older, and whether you like it or not, you have made a decision by not making a decision, and you're lost, and you are on the road to hell. And there's an interesting thing. While this guy up here is receiving all that information, this guy, equally far down this road, isn't getting any new information. Because what he's still hearing is, you failed. God is angry with the wicked every day. The wicked shall be cast into hell with all the nations that forget God. Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. It is finished. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He doesn't hear anything new. Now this guy up here, man, he just keeps getting more and more and more and more. Man, folks, it just keeps on coming. I mean, it's only the tip of the iceberg, because not only are you given assurance and told that you're a child of God and assured in 100 different ways, you know, of where you're headed and of your new destiny and of your new pedigree in the Lord and your adoption and so on. It gives you a lot more, because it goes on to tell you not only that, but it tells you how to live. It says, for instance, along with the woman taken in adultery, it says, you know, go and sin no more. That's for a Christian. He says, flee idolatry. It says, flee fornication. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. It says, be ye holy as I am holy. It says, you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Pray without ceasing. Despise not prophesying. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto unto thy word. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom. All things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto it. Man, as you progress down this road, the Lord just keeps talking and talking and talking and talking. And now you're this far down the road, and this guy is this far down the road, and you're hearing brand new things, and this guy's hearing the same stuff. Because remember, folks, the Lord back there stopped somewhere in the vicinity in that bush and said, Adam, where are you? And He wasn't leaving until Adam came out.
And Jesus Christ said, "Who touched me?" Peter said, "Lord, any one of 300 people could have touched you." He said, "I want to know who touched me." And he would not move until that woman came and said, "I touched you." See, this guy, if it's you, you're hearing new things. This guy, he's hearing nothing new. And as you progress on up the road and you grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's yet much to be said. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness. It says, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. It says, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. It says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, but whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Let no man deceive you by any means. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Be careful for nothing. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Let no filthy communication proceed out of your mouth. Let nothing be done through vainglory. Forgetting those things which are behind, press forth towards a prize, the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And as you travel up the road, and you're saved, man, the Spirit of God is speaking to you. As long as you try to stay in fellowship with Him, He's talking and He's talking and He's talking. In the meantime, this guy is down here, he hears nothing new. Now, folks, there's a danger as well for a Christian, because somewhere, you know, up here, you know, it's easy to kind of get used to the Lord talking to you. It's kind of easy to get accustomed to preaching and accustomed to teaching and accustomed to reading your Bible. And the Lord says, flee from idolatry. And you don't. And He says, the love of money is the root of all evil. And you don't pay very careful attention. And by the time you gather up a few of those things, and it's not always predictable when it will be that the Lord won't let you get by with it anymore, and He stops there by your bush and demands for you to come out. It's not always easy to tell in a crowd of people that the Lord, you know, with the Lord Jesus Christ walking along, where Jesus Christ might stop, and where in your life the Lord Jesus Christ might stop, and you can't stop. Time still marches on. You know, there are still requirements, and you can't stop, but He stops until you deal with what He told you to deal with. I'm talking about the Lord speaking to man. For instance, a Christian, somebody, you know, on this upper road, you know, say he gets saved at, 10, 12, 14, 16 years old, and he walks with the Lord, and there comes a day, you know, he meets this pretty girl, and she's a Christian too, and, you know, he's 20 or 22, and she's 20 or 22 or whatever, and he starts praying about marrying this girl. The Lord has some things to say about that too, doesn't He? I mean, Paul says, it'd be best if you abide even as I. Nevertheless, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. It says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. You pray about it, and I'll bless it. And, you know, men, you want a wife, and you're lonely, and the Lord speaks to you, and that's a good thing. Now, in the meantime, this guy down here on this road, he's lost, right? He says, I'm lonely, and I want a wife. And you know what the Lord says? It's finished. He says, the wicked shall be cast into hell with all the nations that forget God. He says, you're guilty. You need to get this right. He says, well, I'm lonely. I want a wife. He says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, if you're lost, God has nothing to say to you until you deal with His Son about your salvation. He has nothing to say to you. This guy, he and his wife get married. They love each other. They're in church. They love God. And one day, find out, you know, she's going to have a baby. He goes, oh, man, now I'm scared. And the Lord says, don't worry, train up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. And you learn there's a whole ton of stuff in the Bible teaching you how to be a decent dad. Meantime, this guy goes and hops a bar
marries some old skaggy woman. She shows up pregnant one day, and he goes, "Oh boy, I don't know if I'm ready to be a dad. Lord, what do I do now?" "All the wicked shall be cast into hell with all the nations that forget God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The Lord has nothing to say to you if you haven't trusted His Son. I don't care how far down this road you go. It's not for you. The Christian, the guy on the upper road, the lady on the upper road, I mean, he's got to deal with all kinds of things. He's got to deal with, I mean, he's, I don't know, 20, 22, 24. He's got to learn how to be a man. He's got to learn how to be a dad. He's got to learn how to be, in some cases, a soldier, a Christian soldier anyway. He has to deal with learning perhaps how to be an employee, how to be an employer. He learns that in the Bible, even if he's a slave, the Bible has some things to tell him about how he ought to act. If he even were a master, it tells him how he ought to act. When it comes to his money and when it comes to debt, the Bible has all sorts of things to say about him. When it comes to forgiveness, when it comes to regret, when it comes to his trials, when it comes to his religion, his hope, his material wealth, his friends, his money, heck, even his self-esteem. The Bible has all sorts of things to say about that. In the meantime, this guy down here on this road is dealing with the same things. He says, "God, help me." And God said, "The wicked shall be cast into hell with all the nations that forget God, except a man be born again. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. It is finished. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Otherwise, I have nothing to say to you." Okay? The guy on top, he comes to a point in his life, maybe he's at maybe he's 20, maybe he's 30, and maybe he's 35, maybe he's 40, maybe he's 45. And there's something that happens in his life, there's something that's going on, and he's scared. And he says, "Lord God, I'm scared." And the Lord says that, he says, "God hath not given him a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear not, for I am with thee." Right? That's a great comfort. This guy down here, he says, "God, I'm scared." He said, "You should be scared. For the wicked shall be cast into hell, and all the nations that forget God, and except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, and except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." You know, this guy up here, he has all kinds of things going on. There are all kinds of things that come along in life. One day he looks up and he's 45, 50, 55 years old, a little bit worried about his age. And the Lord comes along and says, "Well, the hoary head is a crown of glory." Meantime, this guy down here, he looks up one day and he's just turned 60. He says, "Oh man, Lord, I'm getting old." And the Lord said, "Yeah, and the wicked shall be cast into hell and all the nations that forget God." Because he has nothing else to say to the guy. He has no comfort. One day, this guy shows up as a saved guy, to the funeral of another saved guy. And you know what the Lord has to say to him? I mean, it's somebody that he loved, somebody, maybe it's a wife, somebody that he loved, maybe it's a kid. And you know what the Lord says? He says, "I would not have you to sorrow as they that have no hope. For there's coming a day that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back and he'll bring the ones that are asleep with him." This lost guy goes down here. And he has to bury a wife. He says, "Oh God, what a terrible thing." And you know what God says? "The wicked shall be cast into hell, and all the nations that forget God, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." This guy has no revelation after this point until he deals with this point. This guy up here has to be careful. Because as that day when Jesus Christ on the roadside there stops and says, "Who touched me?" This guy up here has to be careful because the Lord expects His children to first grow out of diapers and then to dress themselves and then to clean themselves and then to help provide for themselves. He expects them to grow and mature. And where a guy gets hung up on too many things, there comes a day that the Lord stops in the middle of the road. And the guy can't stop. The years are counting down. The birthdays continue to come and go. And whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And one day he looks around, and the Lord's not with him, at least in the way that he needs the Lord with him. Because the Lord's back down the road waiting for him to come back and deal with something. You understand? You know, that guy on that upper road, one day he has to deal with real catastrophe. And it's a terrible catastrophe. Maybe his life collapses in around him. Maybe he has to deal with a cancer diagnosis. And, I mean, again, you know, he's scared. And you know what the Lord says? The Lord says, it is I, be not afraid. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That same guy on that lower road that's lost and comes to a catastrophic day, you know what the Lord has to say to him? The wicked shall be cast into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. The guy on the upper road says, Lord, I'm lonely. And the Lord says, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The guy on the lower road says, Lord, I'm lonely. And the guy says, the wicked shall be cast into hell, with all the nations that forget God. The guy on the upper road says, Lord, I'm discouraged. The Lord says, be of good courage. The guy on the lower road says, Lord, I'm discouraged. And the Lord says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The guy on the upper road says, Lord, I'm heartbroken. And the Lord says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. The guy on the lower road says, Lord, I'm heartbroken. And the Lord says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The guy on the upper road says, Lord, I'm weak. God says, be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. The guy on the lower road says, I'm weak. And the Lord says, the wicked shall be cast into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See the difference? You see, folks, if you're lost here this morning, I know that there are people that are lost, and there are people that are lost that are hurting. And you need to understand that you're in a place where you're lost and hurting because of a road you've traveled. And you also need to understand that the Lord has nothing to say to you down here that He didn't have to say right there. And He requires you to deal with what He said to you right there before He has anything else to say to you down here. The danger for a Christian up here is that he ceases to listen to the voice of God. And nobody knows the threshold, and nobody knows exactly how the Lord does things, but there are times that a guy looks around after he's traveled down this road and he's still going to heaven, and that's a good thing. It's a blessing. But he gets stuck because he looks around and all of a sudden the Lord's not saying to him what He wants Him to say to him. He's not addressing what I want Him to address. Why? Because the Lord's back here saying, who touched me? Adam, where art thou? I'm not moving till you come out. See, it's a neat thing. It's a cool thing that the Lord speaks to man. But when the Lord speaks to man, He expects man to listen. And He expects man to do something with what he's heard. Then one day, this guy way up here one day the Bible says the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised. And the Bible says that I'll call my sheep by their name. You'll hear your voice from heaven in that day. And that'll be a wonderful day. Get to see Him face to face and get to talk to Him face to face. You know the thing about it, though, this guy down here, you know what he hears in that day? Nothing. Nothing. And this guy's hope in that day is very, very bleak indeed. This guy goes on to heaven, spends a little bit of time in heaven. One day the judgment comes up, and God willing, you know what that guy hears? He hears the voice of his Savior. And the voice of his Savior, says, you know, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. This guy here goes to a judgment of his own right, and he hears the voice that says, depart from me, you cursed, everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. There's two dangers here. First danger is obvious for the lost guy. God has nothing to say to you after that point right there. Bankruptcy, divorce, cancer, a combination of things that life and the devil and the Lord can throw at you that are devastating, and you need light. He has nothing to say to you down here that He didn't say right there. He will not say anything else to you than what He said right there until you deal with that. The other danger is for a Christian. He gets up here, and the voice was sweet at this point, and it was still good at this point. And then as he grew, there became snags and snares, and it just seemed like the Lord was more interested in stabbing him than anything else. And his sins come back to visit him a little bit. And, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And he begins to reap some things that he sowed way back here. And it becomes less and less pleasant. And pretty soon he drops out of church and quits reading his Bible. Or at least is not so careful with the Bible. Or maybe it's just that he edits out what he doesn't like. And all of a sudden, he only hears God whisper once in a while. And before you know it, there's a day that this guy can be almost as without light as this guy. And it's because Jesus Christ stopped in the road back there and said, I'm not moving till I find out who touched me. Or, Adam, where art thou? Unless this guy is willing to go and deal with what the Lord dealt with him about back here, God has nothing else to say to him. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we thank You this morning for the fact that, in spite of the fact that we're sinners and all, that You are kind enough and have desire enough to fellowship with us, that You've made a way. Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior, I hope it'll be plain to them that they have to go to the foot of the cross to advance anywhere else. They must deal with their salvation and with their sins through Christ before God has much of anything else to say to them. Father, for all of us Christians here, Lord, I've been saved for 30-something years, and a lot of these folks have been saved now for 10 and 15 and 20 years. Father, it's easy for us to grow a little callous to the voice of the Lord. The words become familiar. We can begin and finish verses that the preacher begins and finishes. And Lord, we need to make sure that we don't advance past a point where the Lord's willing to walk and talk with us because of something that we're supposed to deal with first. Pray that You'd help us all this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's remain with our heads bowed and our eyes closed here for just a few minutes. Maybe you need to come this morning. I don't know if anybody here is lost, but if you are, salvation was made simple. It was made free and easy for sinners. It's not easy for Christ. It's easy for sinners. The Lord did that because He didn't want there to be an obstacle in His fellowship with you. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to deal with your sins. Would you come? Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day so that there was a provision to take your sins away. You have to receive the gift, and that's all. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I know that our crowd this morning here is maybe all, certainly mostly Christians. You have to beware being on that upper road of, as with Jairus, walking on the road with Christ. The Lord stops somewhere along the way because something He requires that something be dealt with before He shows you something else or gives you something else. If you need to come, why don't you come? Let's look this way. We'll find a songbook, number 438. 438. thank you this morning for a good morning. I know that there's some folks gone for various reasons, and some of them are sick and so on. Father, protect them, those that are on the road going somewhere. Pray you'd look over them. Think about Jerry once again in the hospital, hopefully coming home tomorrow. I ask you to remember him. We have a lot coming up, Father, these next weeks. We would fully expect the devil to turn up the heat on us a little bit more here. We pray that you'd help us keep our heads about us, Father. Keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.